Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is Ches. We're here in the first parak of Pesachim, and we're finishing up our first Mishnah. First Mishnah obviously started on Beis, and has gone for over a week. We are going to be concluding today, finally getting through the first Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when you do Bedikah, you do Le'or Haner. So you do it with the light of a flame. And so that is not that far, not that deep into the Mishnah. So it's the first line of the Mishnah. So we spent a lot of time talking about the term or in the Mishnah, which means the night of the 14th. We established that already the first couple dapim of the perek. And then we're going to be discussing momentarily the second half of the Mishnah, and that is where we do the bedikah. But first we establish when. That's the or la basar botin as the chametz, and with what? L'or haner, you use a single flame in order to do the bedikah. And so with that in mind, so here we are now in the Gemara discussing how it is that we know that we do the Bedika Le'or Haner. Minhan Imilu, the Gemara wants to know, where is this coming from? As Rashi is going to point out, so this is not a Drasha Gemara. The Gemara here is not providing a bona fide Drasha, but rather it's Ramazim. It's a Remez. I'll show you the Rashi in just a moment, but Amar Rav Chista Lameinu. So we learn it from the following. We're gonna string together Gzeirah Shavas. It's going to be a total of three Gzeirah Shavas that we're going to string together. The Gemara is going to string together for us in order to arrive at this conclusion. So Lamanu Mitzia 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 Mechipus Vechipus Mechipus Vechipus Mineros Mineros Miner. Okay, we're going to go through it all together right now. Mitzia Mitzia. So first we're stringing together two Psukim that share in common the word Mitzia. Ksiv Hacha. Shivas yamim sor lo yimatze bevateichem, you know, I'll find chametz on your premises. Uksiv hasam veyichapes begadol hachel uvekaton kala. And then we're searching the bags of the brothers. So you see the word, you see veyichapes. Sorry, I didn't finish the pasuk. I'm wondering where the mitzui is. Okay, so hachel katon, I'm sorry, hachel vekaton kala. Vayimatzei. Right, that becomes critical. Okay, so the two psukim now link together the pasuk of mitzia as it relates to chametz and the mitzia of the bags of the brothers. Now, umitzia mechipos didei vechipos mineros tichsiv ba'isahi achapesis yushlaim baneros. Now we're connecting that pasuk that we just found in Parshas Miketz to the pasuk in Sefanya. So on that day, Ba'isahi, at that time, it's talking lost in Lava in the future. So, Achapesis Yerushalayim B'Neros, I'm going to be doing an examination of Yerushalayim using Neros. So you see the two now are connected through the term Chipos. And then, V'Neros mi Ner Dechsiv, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Now as far as the Ner is concerned, so we equate the two Neros, and Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. So Chof is called Chadre Beten. So that is the pasuk connecting the Ner. Neros to Ner. So you see now with all these connections that we get to, that we're going to be doing a search, and we're going to be doing a search eventually through a Ner. Rashi points out over here, you see Rashi, Devar Maschel, Zech Ledavar. Rashi writes at the end, Viraya Mamish Lesa. This is not a bona fide Rasha. El Asmachta Ma'am, it's Ramazim. It's just a way of connecting the Torah Shabbat to the Torah Shabbat Chsav. The Divrei Torah Medivrei Kabbalah Ninu. Because Rashi makes the observation that over here, a lot of these Gzeirah Shavas are taking us to Psukim and Nevi'im. And so when you have a Gzeirah Shav and it heads towards a Sefer Navi, so that's not a Drasha Gemura, but rather that is just simply an Asmachta, the way Rashi describes it. Good. So that is the Gemara's Ramazim. Tan Debe Rabbi Yishmael, Leila Yudal, Botim is Chametz Lor Haner. And here in the Braisa, Tan Debe Rabbi Yishmael. So this is not the first Tan Debe Rabbi Yishmael that we quoted here in the first parak of Psachim. So you do the bedika leila yudalid botkin es chametz or aner. Now you remember we quoted this earlier because clearly in this braisa we established the idea that it's the night of, even though the Mishnah said the word or. Good. Afa pishein raila davar zech ledavar. And here the braisa continues. Shenemer shivas yamim sor leimatzei vaomer vechapes begadol hachel vekatan kala vaomer beisei achapesis yushlam baneros vaomer ner Hashem nishmas adam. Chofes, Nishmas Adam Chofes. Now, good. The Tan Debe Rabbi Yishmael also takes us through the same limudim. So this asmachta obviously was promulgated by multiple sources. My v'omer v'chite mahabesei kula d'shraga. Kula d'shragahu. D'kam rachmana lo badikna le b'Yerushalayim b'nuhur d'avuka. D'nafish no retuva. Ela b'nuhur d'shraga. D'zuta nahara. Tvei. D'avon rabba mishtakach v'avon zuta la mishtakach. So the Gemara says, now as far as the pasuk in Stefania is concerned, I might have taken into consideration that there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing a bedika, he was doing a bedika, but not a thorough bedika. Because what he was looking was for the sins in Yerushalayim. And I might have thought that as a Rachmanus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would look for big sins, but he wouldn't look for small sins. And when we are doing a bedika, so we're doing a thorough bedika. So Tashma Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. So that's what the pasuk is coming to tell me, that no, that even in the context of using a ner, so we are not just looking for big pieces of bread, but we're looking for small pieces of bread as well. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the Ramazim. Tan Rabban in Bokin Lola Or Hachamav Lola Or Lavanav Lola Or Havuka El Or Haner. The Brisa continues as we are now in the last line of Zayin Amud Beis, where the Brisa says that when you do the Bedika, you can't do it by sunlight, you can't do it by moonlight, you can't do it by a torch, but you have to use Or Haner, you have to use a single flame. Mimnesha Or Haner Yafel Bedika. The Or Haner is the best kind of light that is going to be servicing this purpose of Bedika. Now, even though there's no bona fide proof, but Zech L'davar, once again, a remez. Shenemar, I'm going to go through this quickly because now this is round three of the Drasha. Shivas Yamim Sorli Masiv Vatechem V'Omer V'Chapes B'Gadol Achel V'Omer B'Esahi Achapesis Yerushalayim Aneros V'Omer Aner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chofes Kol Chadrei Vaten. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end of a series of Drashas that we saw together. Hai Or HaChama Hechidami. Now, in terms of checking L'Or HaChama, so how exactly is that going to work out? Now, first of all, I'll ask the question before the Gemara asks the question. How exactly is that going to work out if you're checking at night? Meaning, the Gemara now is proposing for just a moment checking by sunlight, and we've already established, it's been now a week's worth of work, but we've already established that the bedika is done at night. There's no sun during the night. So how are you checking at night? So the obvious answer has to be that despite the fact that the Chachamim were masakin that you do bedika at night, so there has to be, at least from the conversation the Gemara is having right now, an allowance to check during the day. Well, first of all, we all know that if you don't check at night, so then it's not something which is lost and gone forever. You simply check the next morning. So there's an opportunity to check by sunlight. In addition to that, also, bedika could be done ahead of time. The halacha describes, the Shulchan Aruch describes, that what you could do is you could do a bedika in advance, have that now being pre-checked, right? It's kind of like boarding the plane. It's like pre-checked, and now when you get to the Lel Yedalid, so there's a formal bedika that has to be done at that point in time, because that's the mitzvah derabbanan to do at that point in time. But if you have a pre-checked room, so you can leave that pre-checked room now as is. You don't need to do it during your formal bedika on Lel Yedalid. Okay, anyway, point now being is that there are opportunities to do bedika during the day. So now, with that stated, so now, let's go to the Gemara's question. So using Or Chama, is that a possibility? So Hechidami Inem Abechatzer. So the Gemara says, now if we're talking about doing it in the Chatzer, meaning in your courtyard, Hamar Abechatzer and Esricha Bedika Mimesha Orvim Mitzvim Sham. So the Gemara just has a technical problem, which is that there's no requirement to do a Bedika in your Chatzer. That's where the ravens are. The ravens are out in the Chatzer, and they're going to eat any bread that's left over. So there simply is no requirement to do a Bedika in the Chatzer. Elabach Sadra, so the Gemara says, okay, some sort of pavilion. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Achsadra la'ora nivdekes. So Rava says that when it comes to the Achsadra, so that can be checked by its light, meaning there is ample light coming in. The pavilion has a rooftop. The pavilion does not have walls, so there's ample light coming in. And Rashi writes over here, la'ora nivdekes, or shala nivdekes vein tzarech la'avi la'or haner balayla, elabot kabayom. So Rashi writes clearly over here, you could check it during the day, and it's got plenty of light. So the Gemara says, so where exactly are we disqualifying sunlight? So which the Brisa clearly does. So lo tzricha la'aruba debecheder. So we're talking about checking a room that has a skylight. So it is, for the most part, a closed off room, a sealed room, but it has a skylight. So the Gemara says, in that circumstance, you can't use sunlight. So the Gemara says, let's be even more specific. Now, if we're checking where the sun is actually shining, can't be any worse than the pavilion. We said the pavilion you can check by sunlight. So if you're checking directly opposite the skylight where the sun's coming in, that should be fine. Elalitzadim. So the Gemara says fine. So what we mean to say is the indirect light that's coming in through the skylight. So that's the kind of light that you can't use. There's a lot of shadows that are cast over there. The whole idea of checking with a candle, the Gemara is going to make this excessively clear, is that we're going to be able to really control where the light's coming in. And so as a result of that, so if we're talking about indirect sunlight, which is what we're describing right now, so there are many shadows, that's going to be no good. The avukalo, the Gemara says, now, let's consider. A torch is no good. So the amarava maidichsiv, a no-ga, ka'ortiye, karnai miadolo, visham, chivayonuzo. So the pasuk in Chavakuk, right? Tzafanya so far this morning, now Chavakuk, we are in Treasar. So the pasuk in Chavakuk describes the light emanating from the tzaddikim, and the Gemara now darshins. Lama tzaddikim domim bifnei ashchina, kener bifnei avuka. As far as a comparison, just trying to give us some sort of mindset of what it is a tzaddik compared to the shchina. So it's like a ner bifnei avuka. It's like a single candle in front of a torch. V'amar Rava avuka la'avdala mitzvah menemuchar. And on top of that, Rava says that when making avdala, so the torch is mitzvah menemuchar. That's the preferable way to generate light for the avdala. So the Gemara now wants to know, and clearly a torch is better. And even without the proof of the halacha regarding Havdalah and without the pasuk in Tzafanya, like it's kind of intuitive that the torch is going to be better than a single flame. So in terms of opting for what kind of light we're going to be using for the bedikah, so why not use the torch? So the Gemara is going to give four answers to this question. I'm sure a host of them we could already guess in anticipation, but the Gemara is going to give four answers. So mitzvah menemuvchar. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So here we are now. Four answers in terms of why a single candle over that of a torch is going to be the preferred way to do the mitzvah of bedikas chamit. Number one, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak ze yachol lachnitzo lechorin ulis dakin vize eno yachol lachnitzo lechorin ulis dakin. So in terms of getting into the crevices, so when you have a single flame, so it's much more controllable and you can get into the cracks and crevices of the house. You can't do that with a torch. Number two. As far as the torch is concerned, so it's able to illuminate up to the torch, but it's going to be hard to see beyond the torch. Meaning the flame of the torch is so bright that it's a little bit challenging to see beyond the torch because of the intensity of the flame. However, if it's a single flame, so there, once again, you're going to be able to see it. You're going to be able to see ahead of it. So that also is a function of control. Rav Papa number three, Rav Papa Amar, high bias, valo bias. A third answer, extraordinarily practical, and that is that when it comes to a single flame, so you are going to be not worried that the house is going to catch fire. However, when it comes to a torch, so people are obviously going to be very scared that the house is going to go aflame. So aside from the obvious financial issues of losing a house, but on top of that, it's going to also take away the quality of the bedikah, because you're not going to really, you'll be so risk averse of moving the torch anywhere in the house, you're not really going to do a proper bedikah. Okay, and unfortunately, there have been incidents, there have been episodes where a fire broke out because of bedikah. So, and that's with a single flame. So with a torch, obviously, people are going to be really scared. And finally, Ravina Amar, Hai Mashach Nuhura Vahai, Mikta Faktufe. And also, just the nature of a torch versus a single flame, a torch, it jumps around. And so therefore, you're not getting a steady stream of light, but when it comes to a single flame, so it sits there calmly on the wick, and so therefore, you're going to get a steadier stream of flame. Okay, so just for many reasons, four in total, the Gemara says that's why the mitzvah of bedikah should be done with a single flame as opposed to a torch. Admittedly, a torch produces more light, but for four reasons that we just articulated, it's not going to be as good as a single flame for the purposes of bedikah. Probably in terms of frequently asked questions regarding the mitzvah of bedikah, so can you do it with a flashlight? Obviously, you're not going to encounter the answer to that in the Gemara, but if you go over the four reasons that we just encountered, so you could make a very strong argument that a flashlight would be just as good as a single flame. On the other hand, we also went through a series of psukim and drashas. Now, granted, Rashi says that's asmachta ma'alma, but clearly there is something qualitative in nature to the flame. And aside from the Torah's Ha-Nigla, which I know a little bit, there may be Torah's Ha-Nister as well, which I know none of it. So, but okay, you'll ask your local Rav in terms of his feelings about a flashlight, but certainly based on the reasons that are given, a strong argument can be made in terms of a flashlight being something that you can use to do the bedikah. We're continuing in the Gemara. We are in Chesam and Alf, halfway down the Amud at the two dots. We have now discussed so far this morning using a flame, a single flame, in order to do the bedikah. And now we finish up our Mishnah. The remainder of today's daf is going to be a conclusion of the Mishnah, and it's going to be a very simple issue, which is, where do I do the bedikah? So the Mishnah gave us a rule. The rule of the Mishnah is actually very straightforward and extraordinarily pragmatic. And that is that kol makom, the second line of the Mishnah, kol makom she'ein machnitzim bo chametz, ein tzarech bedikah. If I never bring chametz in there year-round, so that's an area that does not require bedikah. With that in mind, so let's begin the Gemara's discussion. So, kol makom she'ein machnitzim, kol makom lasui yamai. Okay, this is a standard rule throughout all Mishnayos. When you see the term kol makom, so by definition, what that means is that it's an inclusive term, and it's coming to include. So what is it coming to include? So Hadatan Rabban, the Gemara says, it's coming to include the following. Now remember, by the way, just make sure that we have the proper context. It's inclusive in terms of the exemption that we're creating. Meaning the Mishnah is creating an exemption. That if I don't bring chametz into that area, so therefore doesn't it require a bedikah. So Kol Makom tells me that the exemption is to be expanded. So what we're really focusing on is the expansion of the exemption. So the Braisa starts off Tana Rabbanan. So when you're talking about crevices in the house, holes within the house, okay, kind of like built-in cubbies into the walls, elyonim v'tachtonim, high up on the wall and very low on the wall, areas that are just challenging to access, either because it's above where you can reach or because you're going to have to bend down in order to get there. Good. So those are areas that are included in the exemption. Gaga yitzia v'gaga migdal. Rashi describes it as a slanted roof, slanted roofs of the house, slanted roofs of the Migdal, some sort of armoire that has a roof on top and it's slanted. So again, because of its slanted nature, no one's going to put anything over there, no one's going to leave anything over there. That doesn't require bedika. Refes Bakar, the stables in which you keep the cows, velulin, chicken coops, madmain, the places where you store your straw, storage houses of both wine and oil does not require bedika. Now that should confuse us a little bit because we learned back in the Mishnah that part of the cellar needs to be checked. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to not ask the question directly, but we're going to come back to this. So all these items are included in the exemption. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita Cholakis Besocha Bayis Mafsekat Tzricha Bedika. And at the end of this brisa, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that if I have a bed, and the bed is large in nature, it basically divides the room into two. Umafsekes. The bed is raised a little bit off the ground. So there's area under the bed, right? For most of our beds, all right, you have such an idea that the beds are sitting on legs, and so therefore there's room underneath the bed. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that requires a bedikah. You got to check under the bed, right? People keep things under their beds. Okay, a sandwich, admittedly, less likely, but apparently it was done. Remember back in the day, right? We have bedrooms. So back in the day, they had a room, so the room was multi-purpose. So yeah, it's more than possible that people brought stored bread under or any chametz product under the bed. Okay, that is all but brisa number one, giving us an expansion of the exemption of what places don't need to be checked. Or remainder of the Gemara quotes another brisa. Chor shebein adam lechavero, zebo degad makom shiyadam magas, v'zebo bo degad makom shiyadam magas, v'ashar mevad lo b'libo. So let's say you have a cubby in the wall of your house, and oddly enough, it basically goes all the way through into your neighbor. Okay? If you and your neighbor are interested in hearing each other's conversations, so it sounds like this hole is a wonderful way to engage. If you want to have a conversation, the hole sounds a wonderful way to engage. If you want to have privacy, it doesn't sound like the greatest idea. But regardless, the point of the brisa is that you're going to insert your hand into the hole up until where you can reach. he will insert his hand up into the wall where he could reach. And as far as the rest is concerned, bittul is sufficient. You're not going to be storing anything outside of your arm's reach. Okay. You're talking about an extraordinarily thick wall, regardless. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita Cholekes Besoch Abayis Ve'etzim Ve'avanim Sedurim Tachteha. If I have a bed in the house, it divides the house. There are stones and logs that are underneath. Umafsekes, Enos Richa Bedika, does not require a Bedika, this kind of bed. So Kasha Mita Mita Kasha Chorin Achorin. You compare the first brisa and the second brisa, and so we got some issues to resolve. Number one, in the first brisa, we said that you don't have to check the cubbies in the wall. Second brisa says you do have to check them. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the first brisa says there is a requirement to check underneath the bed. In the second brisa, he says there is no requirement to check under the bed. The Gemara immediately resolves both of these problems. Chorin achorin lo kasha ha bi'ilai uvisasai v'ha bimitziai. So as far as the cubbies built into the walls, so the answer is very simple. If we're talking about cubbies that are too high or too low, so that's the first brisa, that you don't have to check. If we're talking about where the cubby height is a perfect height where you could just simply insert your arm, that does need a bedika. Very simple. And mita mita lo kasha ha dimidlai ha dimitisai. And as far as the bed is concerned, it depends on the height of the bed. So if the bed is a good height off the ground, so it's gavoa harbe, it's high off the ground, and there's plenty of room underneath the bed, so that does need a bedika. If, however, the bed is very low to the ground, so it doesn't need a bedika. Okay, very straightforward resolutions of the two brisas and the two issues between the two brisas. Otsarosyani and Sarach bedika v'atanya. Now, the wine cellar in the brisa that we learned together, brisa number one, so that's included in the exemption that does not need a bedika. Meanwhile, the Hatani, we learned in another brisa, Otsar Shayin Sarach Bedika. Otsar Shaman Ein Sarach Bedika. Another brisa says that the place where you store your oil does not require a Bedika. A place where you store your wine, that does require a Bedika. And that's called a Stira. So, Achab and Maiskin and Mestapik. So the Gemara says there's a wine cellar and then there's a wine cellar. Meaning when a wine cellar is a wine cellar where you store your wine in there, you close the door, you never go in there, except on occasion when obviously when you're taking out some barrels. So that's an area that does not need a check. You know you're not bringing chametz into that area. However, if we're talking about the wine cellar where every time we run out of wine, we go into that wine cellar, that's mistapek. So we go ahead and use that as a constant supply of wine. So then what could happen is that the shamash is going in there, and during a meal, he has a sandwich in his hand, and he goes in there in order to get some wine, puts down his sandwich, right? I know the drill. Am I way too familiar with this drill? Puts down the sandwich, gets some wine, forgets the sandwich over there, and that's it, and he has no recollection of where he left the sandwich. So that's why if it's a wine cellar where you're constantly getting from that wine cellar, even during meals, so then you have to do a bedika. So the Gemara says, why don't we say the same thing we're going regarding the place where we store our oil? So it's Shemin Yesh Kevel Achila Yain and Kevel Ashtia. So the Gemara says, look, it's just simply the nature of oil versus wine. When it comes to oil, so we know how much oil we're going to need over the course of the meal. At no point in the meal is somebody going to say, we need more oil. However, that's not true with wine. So people would imbibe, people would drink, and people drink perhaps a little too much. This is not a criticism, this is just a description of human nature. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in the middle of the meal and we're out of wine. So so it's very possible that during the meal, with sandwich in tow, so the shamash is going to go to the wine cellar. But oil, it is extraordinarily unlikely that someone's going to be going and looking for more oil during the meal. Okay. Tani Rabbi Chia, Asu Atzor Shechar Bebavel Ka'otzor Zayin Be'eretz Yisrael B'mistapeg. So what was the drink of choice in Bavel? So it's beer. Now, just not to confuse all of us, myself included, so beer itself is chametz. So we're talking about doing a bedika in the beer cellar. Why isn't the beer itself chametz? So let's go back and remind ourselves that beer made out of grain, so that wasn't the conventional beer of the time. Their beer was more like date beer. So the beer itself wasn't chametz. However, it was the drink of Bavel. Being that beer served as a drink of Bavel, so therefore, just like wine, people, the shamash goes into the cellar in order to get wine during the meal. So in Bavel, people would do the same thing regarding the beer that they drank, that it was drunk at such a rate that there's a good chance that the attendant went there during the meal. Amar Chista Beidagim Ein Sarach Bedika. So what about the place where you store your fish? So Rav Chisda says no bedikah is required v'atayin tzrichim bedikah. Now we do have a brisa that says there is a bedikah that's required, and lokasha habaravave habazutre. Depends what kind of fish we're storing in the storehouse of the fish. If we're storing large fish, so we can easily assess how many fish we need during the meal. Nobody's going to be going back there during the meal. However, if we're talking about herring, so it's very possible, very feasible that we ran out at a herring during the meal, and now we're going to be sending somebody to go get herring with sandwich in tow. What about the rooms in which we store salt? What about the rooms that we store wax? So that does require a bedika, right? Salt, there's a good chance that we're going to need salt during the meal. So therefore, the shamash is going to go there with sandwich in tow. Same thing with the wax. We're going to run out of light. Obviously, we're not talking about on Shabbos. But during the week, right, their electricity was wax. That provided illumination. So it's more than likely that during the meal, we're going to run out of wax. We're going to need to get more wax in order to provide more light for the meal. And there we're sending our shamash with sandwich in tow in order to get the wax. Amra papa beit sibi ube tamre tsarich bedika. Now we're talking about places where you store your wood, places where you store your dates. They require a bedika. Again, same point. People are going to go there even during the meal. Tana in mechayven oso lahachnis yado lechurin ulis dakin livdok mimnei asakana. Okay, the brace over here, which we're going to spend a couple of minutes discussing, is that you don't have to stick your hand into the crevices of your home in order to do a bedika because sakana, it's dangerous. So the Gemara says, can we explain what that means? It's dangerous. Why is it dangerous sticking your hands into the holes of your home? And that's why you can't do a bedika. You don't need to do a bedika in those areas. So my sakana, inema mime sakana sakrav. So it's originally what I thought, but the Gemara is going to tell me how not intelligent a thought it is. And that is, well, if I stick my hand in, so I'm going to get stung by a scorpion. So the Gemara says, okay, great. So then, ki mishtamish hechi ishtamish. So that means you never used it year-round. If you're scared on Lel Yadalid because of a scorpion sting, so that means you'd be scared on the other 364 days of the year of a scorpion sting. So you will never use that area. Therefore, it doesn't require bedika altogether. So, okay, that was my first thought, and the Gemara just informed me, not the smartest thought. But anyway, fine. So lo tzricha denafa. So the Gemara says what we're describing over here is that the house fell down. So the Gemara says, really, the house fell down. Enafa lamali bedika. If the house falls down, you don't have to do bedika v'atanan. We're going to see this Mishnah later on. Chamish enafa alav mapolos harehu chemevuar. Once you have a house that falls down, and there happens to be chametz, and you know there's chametz underneath the rubble. So at that point in time, once it's inaccessible, it's as if it's considered destroyed. So the Gemara says, "Hasam shein akel v'yachol lachafes acharav hacha kishakel v'yachol lachafes acharav." So the Gemara says a difference we can construct between the two cases. There later in the Masechta and that Mishnah. So we're going to be describing where it's buried deep underneath. Under those circumstances, so there's no need to check over there. It's buried. However, over here in our case, we could be describing something which is not so deeply buried underneath. Rashi describes it as less than 3 tefachim. Under those circumstances, it does not take a lot to uncover it, and you do have to uncover it. Okay. So far, the Braisa, towards the bottom of our Amud, said that you don't have to stick your hands into the holes, mibnei hasakana. And now, how we're describing it, not because we're worried about a scorpion bite, but rather because the house fell in, and now the chametz is buried, but not deeply underneath. Under those circumstances, there's no need to do a bedika, because it'll amount to danger. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Mahamar Rav Elazar, Shluchim Mitzvah Nizakin. So don't we have a rule that if you're en route to doing a mitzvah, so you're going to be afforded divine protection, extra divine protection, meaning Akash Baruch Hu, always protects us. The Akash Baruch Hu Shomer Yisrael. But nevertheless, so when doing a mitzvah, so we're afforded extra protection. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, shouldn't we have less to worry about? So Amar Ravashi Shema Tova Lo Machat V'Asi Li'iyune Basra. So the Gemara says like this. Well, it's true, you are afforded extra protection when doing a mitzvah, but at the same time, however, as long as I'm looking for my chametz, you know, I also have to happen to have lost a valuable. The Gemara here describes the needle. Okay. Needles are also valuable. But I happen to have lost a valuable. And what could happen now is that, look, let me look for my chametz. And also I'm going to be looking for a needle as well. And the Gemara is considering now that's going to take away some of the mitzvah. And therefore, you're not going to be afforded that kind of protection. So the Gemara says, really? So you tell me that if I'm doing a mitzvah and I also have ulterior motives in mind, so that's no good. The Gemara says, that's not true. V'atanya, you've learned in the Braisa. If a person gives tzedaka, so that his son will live. Or that he'll be a ben olam haba. So I raise the tzedek gamar, so the Braisa has the most complimentary things to say about such an individual. As we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, he's a tzedek gamar. He's a bona fide tzedek. So clearly, if I'm doing a mitzvah and I have ulterior motives, that's fine. It's more than fine. The person is described as a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but dema basa debadak asaliyinu basra. So the Gemara says, fine. Here, going back to our chametz scenario, the house fell in, there's chametz buried underneath, it's not deeply buried, because if it is, there's no need to check whatsoever, but there is, in a shallow area, chametz over there. The Gemara says, but if I start digging, it's already a ruined house, and I start digging around, it's dangerous, and therefore you don't have to do the bedikah. And the Gemara says, aren't you afforded extra protection? And the Gemara's answer to that is as follows. While you're doing the bedikah itself, you are afforded extra protection. But let's say after recovering the chametz, you say, look, as long as I'm here, so remember that needle that I lost, let me look for the needle now. So now it's not doing a mitzvah with ulterior motives, the mitzvah's done already. And so now what the chachamim are worried about is you'll use this searching opportunity to search other items which are not a mitzvah, and therefore you will you also come to danger, right? By the way, this week's Parsha, right? This week's Parsha. So Yaakov leaves Pachim Ketanim. So he leaves those small jugs on the other side. And, right, the Gemara doesn't bring this up. I'm just connecting it to this week's Parsha. And Yaakov goes back to the other side in order to get his Pachim Ketanim, and he faces danger. Okay, fine. Anyway, the Tosus over here is bothered by a question which is pretty obvious. And that is the third Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Third Mishnah of Pirkei Avos on Tignos Ishocho. So he writes in the third parak of Pirkei Avos, Altiu Tap Tosos, Altiu Akavadim Amisham Shemasarav Amenasakaba Pras. So don't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with any expectation to get a reward. Now remember, by the way, right, this Mishnah led some students astray because they thought that means that there is no reward. No, it's just talking about the attitude. The attitude when we're doing the mitzvah, it's as if we are not getting a reward. Meaning, we're doing the mitzvah because we're told to do the mitzvah, period. And the reward is coming, schar va'onesh. It's one of the yud gimel ikari emuna. But in terms of our attitude, we shouldn't have that kind of attitude. So how does that work with the Gemara that we learned right over here? Our Gemara over here says that you give tzedakah and you ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, do me a favor as in return and reward for giving tzedakah. So can you do the following favors for me? This Gemara that we're learning over here seems to go right up against that Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Tosos writes over here. I'm going to read the Tosos inside. It's really a fundamental point. So Tosos writes over here. Hainu b'chiyai gavna, third line of Tosos. Hainu b'chiyai gavna she'im lo savu lo oso atova shumetzape toe umischaret al hatzdaka sha'asa. Let's say that you are giving tzedakah, but only so that you will get whatever favor you're asking for. And if a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides in his infinite wisdom that you're not going to get it, so then you're going to say, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have given the tzedakah. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Aval misha einu tov mischaret haris tzedek gamur. If, however, you're giving the tzedakah b'lev shalem with a full heart, and then on top of that you say, look, also I need, but you don't connect the two, and if a Kadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom decides no, and you say okay, that's fine, and you're comfortable with the more than comfortable, you're proud of the mitzvah that you've done. So that is what our Gemara is describing over here. Okay, so Tosfos gives a basic distinction to be made between our Gemara over here and the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. We are going back to our Gemara now. So we had a brisa on the bottom of the previous Amud. The brisa says that there are certain holes that you shouldn't put your hand into. Mipnei asakana. So far, we have offered one pshat, and that is the house fell in, And now to put your hands in, it's going to lead to some danger. Right? You're basically walking around within the rubbles of a house. Gemara now is going to be providing a second answer to this question of what does it mean, sakana? Top of Chesam and Bey, second line down. Rav Nachman, Yitzhakam, Mishum, Sakana, San, Nachriyim, Uplimo, Hiditanya. So we are worried about non-Jews, and this is according to the opinion of Plimo. The Brisa reads, Chorshe ben Yehudi la Rami, Bodeg ad makom shiado magaz, v'asher mevalo belibo. Let's say we have this hole that exists between a duplex where on one side you have a Jew, on the other side you have a non-Jew. So what the Jew will do is he'll put his hand up to where his arm reaches, the rest of it mevalo belibo. Now Plimo Omer, kol atzmo eno bodeg mibnei asakana. Plimo says no. You're not going to do any bedika whatsoever in that hole. And mibnei asakana. Now the Gemara says, what does that mean? My sakana? Inei masakana kshafim. So what are you worried about? So you're going to now put your arm into that hole and the non-Jew thinks that you're involved in some sort of sorcery. And so, and it'll lead to charges and libel. And unfortunately, we're too familiar with what the Gemara is making reference to over here. So the Gemara says, okay, but if that's true, ki shamish echi shamish. But again, remember the rule? You only do bedika in a place where you're going to be using it during the rest of the year. If we're always worried about the non-Jew being concerned about us practicing any kind of sorcery, making up those kinds of charges, and therefore we're never going to use that hole, so then it never requires a bedika. Okay, so, right, it's the scorpion question, but just over here in this context. So, the Gemara says, well, it depends. In other words, during the daytime, if we use a hole for storage, so the non-Jew understands fully well what you're doing, and so therefore, he won't think anything of it. However, but over here now, it's nighttime, and you're bringing a candle into the hole, and now from the other side, so the non-Jew sees some flickering light going through the hole. Now the non-Jew is going to wonder, what is he doing? And so, libel, charges, sorcery, etc., etc. Okay. Now, the Gemara repeats the conversation that we had in the Amud Aleph. So, what are you worried about? Danger? So, the Gemara says, yeah, but you're en route to doing a mitzvah. So, the Gemara over here offers the following as a limitation of this idea. And that is that, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine protection is going to afford you extra protection while you're doing a mitzvah. But it bumps up the protection. But you are not going to be totally protected from any kind of danger, right? In other words, if it's obvious and apparent, so shluchei mitzvah is not going to help you. Shenamar, vayomer Shmuel, eichei lech v'shama Shaul v'hargeini. So Shaul says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want me to anoint David HaMelech? You know what's going to happen. So Shaul is going to hear about it. And at this point in time, Shaul is and wants to continue being the king. And it's not going to go well for me. Shaul's going to hear about it. I'm anointing another king. That is Mord B'Malchus. That's a rebellion against the king. He's going to kill me. So what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say to Shmuel? Don't worry, I'll protect you. No, it's not what he says. Vayomer Hashem, Eglas Bakar Tikach B'Yadecha. Okay, so make up a story in terms of why you're visiting the Yishai family. So Kadosh Baruch Hu acknowledges, you're right, it is dangerous. So make up a story in terms of why you're going. So clearly over here, if it's Hezek, Hanikar, if it's evident that this is dangerous, shluchei mitzvah is not going to protect you. Over here, Shmuel, what kind of better shliach mitzvah is there? And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling him this is where you need to go. And despite that, he's not going to be afforded protection from obvious danger. Baminei me rav. Hani b'nei bei rav didari bebaga. So let's say you have these students who are living out in the villages. Rashi describes it over here as like a canopy. Whatever the case is, they live out there. So ma'u lemeisei kidma v'chashuch lebei rav. For them to walk to yeshiva is a bit of a dangerous walk. So the Gemara wants to know, should they do the trek? So arm alahu neisei alai v'altzavarai. So he says, walking to the Beis Medrash, the walk is a little bit dangerous. He says, look, they're going to learn Torah. I say, yes. I say more than yes. Altzavarai, it's on my neck. Meaning I'll take full responsibility for anything that happens. Practically what that means, I'm not sure, but I'll take full responsibility. So nasal my. So the Gemara says, fine, that's going to the Beis Medrash. What about going home at night? So going home at night, so that's not a mitzvah. That's leaving a mitzvah. So amr lehu lo yadana. So he says, I'm not sure. Itmar Amar Rav Elazar Shulchan Mitzvah in Nizakan Lo Ba'alicha Sam Lo Bechazar Asan. So he says, Shulchan Mitzvah are going to be afforded protection both en route and also on the return as well. Now, it goes back to something that we discussed at the end of Erevin, and that's the obvious practical consideration. Meaning, if you're not going to be afforded protection on the return, so it's going to make you think twice before going. Good. We discussed this at the end of Erevin. So the Gemara over here says, all right, we discussed it in the context of the Kohen and the bandages and the wraps that he put his, around his hands, where the allowance is to take it off and then to also put it back on again. If you don't allow him to put it back on again, he's not going to take it off. Anyway, so Kaman ki aitana detanya. So the Gemara says, similar to the following braisa. Isi ben Yehuda Amar Kapish Amar Torah. V'lo yachmar isha sarzecham lamishatei parascha roe be'efer. V'ein chaya mazikasa. Tarnagoloscham and nakaris bashba v'ein chulda mizikasa. So when you are doing the mitzvah v'li l'regol, so that means you're leaving your house for some time, right? Could be over a week, right? You make an appearance in the Beis HaMikdash. You bring a karban, however long it takes you to walk to the Beis HaMikdash, however long it takes you to return. And now you're leaving a lot behind, and all your assets you're leaving behind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us, don't worry. Cows will be fine. They're not going to be attacked. Chickens are going to be fine. They're not going to be attacked by weasels. Now, over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us protection. V'alod v'ram kavachomer. Now, isn't the matter subject to a kavachomer? So these things which are not prone to any kind of attack. Sorry, let's do that again. Let's do it correctly. These things are prone to attack. So, and b'nei Adam, shein darkan lazok and lachas kama v'kama. Now, when it comes to b'nei Adam, so b'nei Adam are already afforded more protection. Rashi describes this as being a function of mazel. Animals don't have mazel, says Rashi. People do have mazel. And so if your animals are going to be afforded protection and they don't even have mazel, you who have mazel, you're for sure going to be afforded protection. So, okay, good. Going to Yerushalayim, doing the mitzvah of Alila Regal, that I get. What about on the return? The pasuk assures us in Parshas Re'eh that you're going to go home and you have nothing to worry about when you get home. Everything will be found in peace. So the Gemara says, okay. So if we're already given assurances that everything is going to be good on the return, so why do I even need a drasha? Why does the pasuk have to go out of its way to tell me, don't worry on the heading to Yerushalayim? That should be deduced, obviously. So the Gemara says, "Licha de Rabbi Ami, the Amar of Ami, kol Adam sheish lo karka, ola l'rego, v'shein lo karka ein ola l'rego." So the Gemara says, from that first pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, we're actually learning another halacha. Or, I'm sorry, first pasuk is from Parshas Kisisa. We're learning another halacha, which is that when you do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so you only do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel when you have property. If you don't have property, so then you do not have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Now you remember this Gemara, we discussed it right here in Pesachim, like about a week ago. On Gimel Amud Beis, we had the amazing story of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, who was able to ensnare the non-Jew, who was defiantly eating Karban Pesach. And you recall, Tosus over there wonders, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, who was out in Nitzivin, so he was able to entrap the non-Jew. You remember the story, I'm not going to go over it again right now. Tosus over there asked the obvious question. Yehuda ben Beseira was not in Yerushalayim during Pesach. Why wasn't he there? Tosus gives three answers. One of the three answers that Tosus suggests is that maybe Rav Yehuda ben Beseira did not have property. And our Gemara over here tells us that when you don't have property, you have an exemption of Petur from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. We also noted, by the way, back then, that solves for the Aliyah L'Regel problem. But meanwhile, Karban Pesach does not seem to be connected to having karka. Okay, and I didn't have a smart answer then. I don't have a smart answer now. Anyway, back to our Gemara over here. Amar Avi Avin bar Rav Ada, Amar Avi Yitzchak Mimnei Ma'in Peres Ginosar B'Yerushalayim. Why aren't these delicious fruit in Yerushalayim? Peres Ginosar, so a number of Gemaras, I remember Gemara Megillah like this, a number of Gemaras talk about these delicious fruit that basically grow around the Kinneret. Now that's way north of Yerushalayim. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have them growing in Yerushalayim? So it's a funny question, but the Gemara gives a profound answer. Kadesh lo ye ola regalim omrim, el male lo alino ala lecho Peres Ginosar B'Yerushalayim Dayenu. Because then people would be going to Yerushalayim for the Gashmias. And that's not the reason why you go to Yerushalayim. the nimsas aliyah shelo lishma, and it comes out now that when you're making aliyah l'regel, so it's for ulterior motives, right? Kind of ties into the gemara that we did earlier this morning. So you're doing so for ulterior motives. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to go to Yerushalayim for the spiritual growth. Why are there the hot springs in Yerushalayim? So same question, same answer, same type of question. So because if there are hot springs in Yerushalayim, imagine, right, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and we have hot springs, oh, amazing. And it turns out now that your Aliyah L'Yerushalayim, your Ola L'Regel, is not for the right reasons, but rather it's for ulterior purposes. It takes away from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Uvameh Amru Beishuros. And from here now to the bottom of our Amud, so we're going to try to clarify which part of the wine cellar needs bedika. In the Mishnah, we know there's machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We know that there is an area that needs checking, an area that does not need checking. It's not a simple, from a simple reading of the Mishnah, it is not abundantly clear what needs bedika and what does not need bedika, both for the opinion of Beis Shammai and for the opinion of Beis Hillel. So the Gemara looks to clear everything up. First of all, how do we get onto the topic of the wine cellar? Uvama emru beishuros. That's Gemara's first question. So martef man dekar shmei. How did that become part of the discussion? Meaning, what's the segue in the Mishnah? The Gemara fills in the blank. Hachi kamar kol makom shei machnisam bo chametein tzarich bedika v'otzor siyam v'otzor shemenami ein tzarich bedika. So the way to understand our Mishnah is that point number one, that your wine cellar, your oil cellar do not require a bedika, because fundamentally these are areas that you don't bring in chametz. And by the way, now that we're hearing the segue of the Mishnah, it really does answer the question that we had on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, where the Braisa that was quoted in the Amud Aleph says you don't have to check your wine cellar, you don't have to check your oil cellar. How does that work with our Mishnah? Now we understand. Fundamentally, you don't have to check those areas. Uva me amru. However, there is part of the wine cellar that needs to, a bedika needs to be done. Good. And what is that? Shtei shuros b'martev makon shemachnisam b'chametz u'mistapek. The area where the shamash is coming in and doing and getting some more wine for the meal while the sandwich is in his hand, as we already discussed. Good. So now we understand the segue of the Mishnah, how the Mishnah come on to discuss wine cellars. Now the next point of the Mishnah, which is the shitas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai and Shtei Shuros. What does that mean, Shtei Shuros? Two rows. So Amar Rav Yehuda Shtei Shuros, Amar Mina Arts Va'ad Shmei Kora. So according to Rav Yehuda's understanding of Beis Shammai, it's going to be the, right, we're assuming that they're stacked, right, one next to another, one on top of another. And so basically you have now a nice square formation. So according to Rav Yehuda's understanding of Beis Shammai, it's going to be the two rows that are facing you as you come in. The first row and the second row after that. Rav Yochanan Amar Shira Achas Kamin Gam. Now Rav Yochanan says, no, it's the row facing you and the row facing the ceiling. And basically, like the Greek letter gamma. So in other words, every time we're talking about a perpendicular angle, right, a right angle, so we are describing the Greek letter gamma. So it's the row facing you, the row facing the ceiling. Tan Kavasad Rav Yehuda, Tan Kavasad Rav Yochanan. These two positions amongst the Amoraim are echoed in the Braisa. So we're talking about now the entire front row, the row facing you from ground to ceiling, and then the row behind that. And then in the second braisa, the row that faces you and the row that faces the ceiling, just like the shita of Rav Yochanan's description. Good. That was all a clarification of Beit Shammai. We don't postulate Beit Shammai, but still, clarifying Beit Shammai, part of Limud HaTorah. Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel Omrim, Shtei Shuros HaChitzon Shehen El Yonos Amar Rav, El Yonah V'Shlamata Himenu. So, Beis Hillel is going to say, less needs to be checked. Now, what is the less according to Beis Hillel? So, here too, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, El Yonah V'shalamata himenu. So we're talking about the most exterior row. both in terms of the one that is closest to the door and the one closest to the ceiling. It's that row and the one directly below it. Okay, I'm not sure. There might be picture supplementals over here. Anyway, it's not that hard to visualize. So the very top row and the one immediately below it. Ushmul Amar Elyona Vishlifnim Emenu. Now, according to Shmuel, it's going to be that very same top row, but one interior from that. Now, my time of the Rav. So as far as Rav is concerned, so textually, his position is coming from the word chitzonos. So it says chitzonos. So it means the most exterior. So v'ha elyonos katani. Yeah, but the Mishnah also says elyonos. So lamute tasai to tasai. So it just simply means that I don't have to drop down three rows. Meaning I only go the very top row and the one below it, but not anything more below that. Now, as far as Shita Shmuel is concerned, it's the top row and the one that is just interior of that. So my time adaik El Yonos, because it in Shita's Beis Hillel, he does say El Yonos, the top, the Hachitzona Ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it does also say Chitzona. Lemu'ute Gavase de Gavase. So the Gemara says, just simply it means that when I go interior, I only go one row interior, not two rows interior. Okay, and the Gemara finally concludes, Rabbi Chiya, Tani Kavase de Rav, Vekulu Tanai, Tani Kavase de Shmuel. Rabbi Chiya teaches the Mishnah, the correct understanding of Beis Hillel, like Rav does, and other Tanaim, Tanaim over here probably means Amoraim, but anyway, learn it like Shmuel, Vehilchase Kavase de Shmuel. Right, a funny conclusion to the Gemara over here, the Halacha falls like Shmuel. Right, it's a funny conclusion because, generally speaking, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And it's not a monetary issue. It's a Isser v'Heter issue. This is clearly Isser v'Heter. So we normally pass like Rav. For the Gemara to conclude over here, that we conclude like Shmuel. So that's a little bit strange. Notes on the side of the Gemara, one of the marginal writings of the Gemara. It says that everyone passes like Rav, which in terms of the Klalei HaPsak make a lot of sense. What do we do with the ending of the Gemara over here? Perhaps it's not part of the Girsa. Okay, anyway. Let's recap our daf today. We started off our daf today talking about the significance of checking by Nair. So that comes to us, that halacha comes to us both via drushas. That's what we saw in the bottom of Zayin Amid Beis and the top of Chesam Ad Aleph. And also practical reasons why a single candle is going to be better. Four practical reasons that are given in the Gemara. As we pointed out, all four of those practical reasons also would allow the use of a flashlight, but you ask your Rav in terms of what you should do. Don't ask me. Okay. The Gemara continues its discussion regarding areas that do not need a bedika. If I don't introduce chametz into that area year round, it does not require a bedika. The brises that we saw on Chesam and Aleph expand. What are those areas where we never bring chametz in and therefore do not require a bedika? Checking in the crevices of a home, right? Hard for us to imagine nowadays, but back in the day. So they had holes that they had in their houses that actually went all the way through into their neighbor's house. And so do you need to do bedika? So it depends. Accessible, the answer is yes. If it's inaccessible or difficulty of accessing, so the answer is going to be no. Certain areas you should not be doing a bedika because it's dangerous. What's that danger? So we discussed that on the bottom of Chesam and Aleph and the top of Chesam and Beis. The Gemara ends up giving two pshatim in terms of what danger is. The Gemara also gave us the rule of Shluchei Mitzvah Zen and Nizakin. If you're en route to doing a mitzvah, and as we concluded, if you're on the return of doing a mitzvah, so you're afforded extra protection. Now, it's not going to cover every kind of damage. If it's Hezek HaNikar, or if it's Hezek that is Shchiach, if it's something where you know it's going to be dangerous, so then you can't just simply hang your hat on the idea that I'm Shluchei Mitzvah. It just gives you a certain level extra protection. Good. The Gemara has a couple of drushas that talk about the protection both while you're going to do a mitzvah and even on the return of doing a mitzvah as well. And finally, in our daf today, we concluded with a discussion of Shitas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of checking in the wine cellar. So Beis Shammai has you checking an entire side. Which side? Machlokas Amoraim. What Beis Shammai was describing. And according to Beis Hillel, you're only checking a single row. Actually, two single rows. Which single rows? Once again, the Amoraim debate that as well. Adkan.